Today's daf from Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're holding at the bottom of Lamed Vav Omud Beit. So what we got to yesterday was that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda seriously means that a woman who was kidnapped and is being held by a bunch of goyim is not considered to have been raped, and she maintains her status as a betula. This was Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Now, that was not the only approach. And in fact, the way in which Rabbah was learning, that Rabbi Yehuda was taking into consideration many other issues, such as, for instance, the question of whether the Beis Din, the Gabi Ksuva, if a Beis Din would paskin that she only gets 100 instead of 200, so then people would decide that, well, apparently Beis Din knows that she's been raped, and that would destroy her chances for marriage later. So that's an issue to take into consideration in terms of how we view her. Or maybe we have the question of, let's not be so kind to rapists, to give him off of paying the amount that he would have to pay for knas. So we don't honestly mean, this is how Tosfos understands it. We're not asking according to Rabbah, because according to Rabbah, there may be many things that Rabbi Yehuda would have agreed that, of course, we have to assume she was raped. And these are special cases where we're taking into consideration other issues in terms of the psak. So today we have a question on the way that Rabbi Yochanan was learning. Romi le Rav Papa bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. These are the last six words on the bottom of the daf. So the question that Rav Papa bar Shmuel asks is only Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Yehuda believes that she, in the fact that she's under the control of Goyim and that she was kidnapped, and that nonetheless he's not going to consider her to be a Bu'ula. And he's going to say that she wasn't raped. Is that really true? Vesava Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushata kaima. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda really believes that she is a betula? V'atanya, let me show you that that's not the case. In the case of a giyoret, that was nitgayera, and then she gets her period, v'ra'ata dam. Now, before we get to this, let's remember what the din is of a bas Yisrael in these circumstances. So remember that we always have a problem with menstrual blood, because the dam is metame the moment that it comes out of the cervix. But the problem is that a drop of blood or a small amount of blood will be contained within the vagina for a while. This is the way the Gemara puts it. It's kotle beit harechem he'emidu. And therefore, you need to worry about the fact that if currently you're seeing a vaginal bleeding, that that may be blood that was metame earlier. Now, because of that, the Rabbanu made a gezerah. And the gezerah is that every woman is metame limafreya as well, midrabbana. So therefore, the last time that she made a bedika, an internal check, and found herself to be tahora, that's called a pekida. Gavi, are you getting this? So the tuma limafreya, mi pekida lipekida. The pekida means that she checked herself internally. So the last time that she checked herself internally and knew that she wasn't tmeya, we're chayshish that at that moment, the moment that she withdrew her hand with the bedika, at that moment, maybe she was reyada to a maximum of 24 hours. So it's mipkida lipkida, or it will go back. If longer than that, the longer it will go back is for 24 hours. Fine. Now, the question is, if a woman converted, any bleeding that she had before the conversion is not Temeah, because the whole halacha of Tumas Nida was only said to Benot Yisrael. It was not said to non-Odom. We don't consider the Kananim to be Odom. It's Odom Atem, not Goyim. Therefore, the question is, let's say that 2 hours after her conversion, she's Rayadam. Shall we say that, okay, so then the equivalent of the Pekida in this case would be from the moment of conversion, because that's the first time that the dam could have been tame. So in a chinami, we don't have mi'eit le'eit, we don't have the 24 hours, but we still have the equivalent of pekida, and we should be metame backwards to the time of her giyur, because maybe as she got out of the mikveh from the giyur, at that moment she was re'adam. So Reb Yehuda says over there, and this is another term, Gav, Daya Sha'ata. Daya Sha'ata means we're only metame her from this moment forward. What's the logic in that? The logic is very straightforward. The Rabbanan made a takana that has two parts to it. One is mi pekida le pekida, and the other is mi eit le eit. Since in this case, mi eit le eit cannot apply, because she wasn't even Jewish all the way back to mi eit le eit. So because of that, the Rabbanan's takana is not applicable. They didn't separately create a takana mi pekida le pekida in the event that mi eit le eit is impossible. So therefore, forget about it. Says Reb Yehuda, there's no takana whatsoever, and she is daya sha'ata. Okay, Reb Yossi says, no, there's two different takanas. Basically, there's mi eit le eit. If there is no mi eit le eit, so go to pekida le pekida. Now, it's true that over here there was no pekida either, but pekida doesn't mean literally a pekida with your hand. A pekida could mean from the time that it shayach to be cheshish. And therefore, in this case, from the moment of her giyur, she gets out of the mikveh, at that moment she shayach to tumas nidais, and if she touched anything that was kedesh or truma during that time, she would be metameyet. That's how Rabbi Yossi holds, right? So therefore, harei kechol anashim, she's like anybody else. Umetame mi'et li'et, okay, so you can't have mi'et li'et, and she's metame b'pkida l'pkida. Fine. Next question. She has to wait 3 months after her giyur before she can marry, because that way we won't know, if she doesn't wait 3 months, so then we won't be sure whether the child that she's carrying comes from before her giyur or comes from after her giyur. So says Reb Yehuda. Reb Yossi says there's no point, we'll see why not, but she can get married immediately. Now, if you're telling me that according to Reb Yehuda, that you have to wait 3 months before she can marry. So what does that mean? That means that he takes for granted that she was having sexual experiences before her giyur. In which case, how can you say on the one, I mean, how the heck did she get pregnant, for heaven's sakes? So therefore, you're telling me on the one hand, I have to wait 3 months because, you know, she's probably been pregnant from before. And on the other hand, you tell me, actually, she is a betula. And she never had any relationship. So isn't that absurd? Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, this is a nutty question on the surface. Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah agreed, of course, to the din of a Gioret. He was only arguing on the din of the Shivuya. Remember? So what are we bringing a riot from a Gioret to a Shivuya, for heaven's sakes? The Gioret was in a society that was sexually promiscuous, had no concept of keeping herself a betula, and the shvuya is doing whatever the heck she can to avoid being raped. I mean, what's the... Reb Yehuda himself makes that distinction, so why does the Gemara assume that this is true? So Lamaisa Tosu says that the Gemara is taken for granted that she had in mind the giyur. That didn't come from a momentary decision. So then we should assume that at least 3 months she's been planning to become a Gioret, right? And therefore, she would be trying to at least make sure that she doesn't get pregnant when she's going to show up in Beis Din with a big stomach. Now, come on, you little whore. We're not interested in having you becoming a Gioret. I mean, she's not going to be interested in getting pregnant, and she'll make sure that she doesn't get pregnant. So when Reb Yehuda says in the Braita that even though she was trying not to have relations so that she shouldn't get pregnant, apparently if you're surrounded by people who are sexually promiscuous and who couldn't care less, there's really not much to do. It's just like part of life. How in the world are you not going to get pregnant, right? So if that's the case, a Shvuya who is surrounded by these Arabs, I mean, like, what is she supposed to do? There's no way to protect yourself. That's the point. And therefore, we're bringing a raya now that in Legabe, the question of whether she was raped, so to speak, by the Shvuya, it should be no different than this case as well. Omar Lay. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, what in the world are you talking about? There's a big difference. How can you ask a question from a Gioret to a Shvuya? A Gioret cannot take care of herself. She's surrounded by Goyim, and she's part of that society. It's like a poor college child today, Nebuch, that goes to school, but she's supposed to remain a virgin. It's like almost impossible. So that's exactly the issue of living in a Goyish society. Mashenkin, over here, the Shvuya, she is very careful to do whatever she could possibly do. And she doesn't want to have anything to do with them. So obviously, Reb Yehuda is going to be more machmir on the Gioret. That seems very obvious to me. Okay, says Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, fine. All right, so you've got an answer to me about this, but I'm going to show you that there's a contradiction even in the din of Shvuya to the din of Shvuya, according to Reb Yehuda. Take a look at this. Because here it says, the Tanya, we have that brisa. Remember the other brisa that we brought yesterday? Agioret v'ashvuya v'hashivcha. Shenivdu v'shenidgayru v'shenishtachru yeterot abnot shalosh shanim v'yom echad tzichot lamtin shlosha chodashim divrei Reb Yehuda. Now can you read? It says over here that a shvuya, according to Reb Yehuda, has to wait 3 months before she's able to get married. Now how can you say from one side of your mouth that she wasn't raped, and on the other side of your mouth, you can say that she has to wait 3 months? I mean, wait 3 months for what? If she never had any way of getting pregnant, what are we waiting for? I don't understand these two piskei halachas. They contradict each other. It's Rabbi Yossi who says, like he did about the other case, that you can go ahead and get married right away. So here you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do consider a shvuya to have been raped. So how can he say in the Mishnah that she's considered to be a betula? We're going to have to discuss with Zoom, putting together Moshe and Gavi, because as you can see, they're already playing tiddlywinks. This is terrible. Before, I only had to worry about Sesame Street. Now we put them together and we're in trouble. Okay, so how do you explain that? Ishtik. Rabbi Yosef gave up to that. I don't know. That's pretty serious. I mean, if on the one hand you're telling me she's pregnant, on the other hand, you can't tell me she never had any intercourse, so I didn't get it. What's happening? So in all of these cases, when somebody beats you down, you know that they have an answer, right? It's just the question of whether you're going to give up first. He's going to tell you only after you give up. And that's the normal expression of, okay, so do you know anything about this? All right. Well, says Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, actually, by some strange coincidence, I happen to know the answer. Yes, indeed. Good of you to ask. I spoke to Rav Sheshes about it, and Rav Sheshes said that the case over here is talking about not that there's a presumption that she was raped, but that we have witnesses that saw her, in fact, being raped. So that's why you have to wait for 3 months. What are you talking about? If we know for a fact that she was raped, how could Rabbi Yossi say that she can get married right away? Why don't we have to worry about her being pregnant? That makes no sense. Ah! Sorry about that. That's what comes of drinking Molotov cocktails in the morning that are boosted up with soda. Gosh. Whew. Sorry. Just dry off the computer. Oh, man. Okay. So as you can see, Barnea, this is not simple stuff. I mean, this is enough to... Omar Rabba, there's a whole different issue. Kosover Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that if a woman is going to be engaged in promiscuous relationships, she always carries around contraceptives. You think people are stupid? So because of that, what difference does it make that you saw her being raped? She has contraceptives with her. Wait a minute. Now, I understand the Gioret has contraceptives because she doesn't want to get pregnant, right? So therefore, given the Daitali, a Gioret, like we said before, she's planning in advance. She's going to become a Gioret, so she doesn't want to be pregnant. Okay, so you're telling me, it doesn't mean she doesn't want to be pregnant means that she can protect herself from having relations with people. It means that she'll carry around contraceptives. Okay, that makes sense. And you could even say that a shvuya, the shvuya also, she doesn't want to get pregnant, even though you might think, look, she's probably given up. She figures she's going to be taken to Rome and put into prostitution or something. Not necessarily. She doesn't know. She's thinking, you know what? Maybe these guys will figure if they take me to Meir Sharim, they'll get more money for me. You know, people over there have rachmanes. They'll do pidyon shvuyim. I don't know. That's all I need is to come in there pregnant, and they'll say, let her go to Rome, right? So therefore, even though she's a shvuya, she doesn't give up, and she'll use her contraceptives. And you can even say that a shivcha that is mishtachreret, because that was one of the three cases, the shivcha is mishtachreret. Why would Rabbi Yossi say that she doesn't have to wait 3 months? Because she's probably overheard plans, but these things don't happen in a second. So for the past 3 months, she's been careful to use contraceptives and make sure she doesn't get pregnant because she wants to be accepted in Jewish society and marry somebody and so on. So we don't suspect that she allowed herself to get pregnant. But what are you going to say in a case where you have a shivcha that was actually freed without a moment's notice? What happened? The mistress got angry at her, smacked her across the mouth, knocked out a tooth. Whoopsie, oh yay, here I am, free and clear. Now, she had no idea an hour ago that she was going to be free and clear, so why wouldn't she be pregnant? She had no idea that she's going to be offered to a good Jewish boy in no time at all, so my ikala meimar. And maybe you'll tell me that, you know what? Rabbi Yossi actually doesn't talk about that case. He's talking only about planned cases. And all she could do is she can do planned parenthood. But in a case where everything is unplanned, such as the case of a shivcha whose tooth was knocked out, so there's no planned parenthood either. So then I'll ask you, and rape? Rape is planned? I mean, you try to say that today and you're in big trouble, right? So what are you going to say about a case of rape? Same thing. If you're going to tell me, koma mele lo amar Rabbi Yossi, what are you going to say about an anusa? Some take out the word of mefuta because a mefuta actually may be planned. Maybe that's not such a, you know, if she's seduced, she's waiting to be seduced. Maybe, okay, but that's a side question. How to be gores over here? So that's also without planning, and nonetheless it says that an anusa and a mefuta needs to wait 3 months according to Rabbi Yehuda, but even over there, Rabbi Yossi says you don't need to wait 3 months, and I'm trying to understand, so what is Rabbi Yossi saying? We're certainly not going to say that she's carrying around contraceptives just in case she's raped. So what's the point? Why is he matir le'arez velina semiyad? Okay, fair enough, says Rabbi. I give up. That was not the correct reasoning. It's not about contraceptives. What it's about is the morning after pill. That's what it's about. And that is, Kasover Rabbi Yossi, Isha mizana mitapechet kedei shelo titaber. That in the case that she was raped, or even in the case that she was planning to be mizana, she doesn't really carry around contraceptives, but she limits the chances of her pregnancy by going nuts after intercourse and jumping around and moving in such a way that every drop of semen is as much as she could possibly do, she gets rid of. And that severely changes the likelihood of her getting pregnant. As any woman who's trying to get pregnant or has problems with pregnancy, that's one of the first things the doctor will tell her, is to be very still and to wait and not to get up right away after intercourse and so on. So she knows that, and she does just the opposite. And she tries to avoid pregnancy. That reduces the chance of a pregnancy significantly. And because of that, Rabbi Yossi says we don't have to wait the Shlosha Chadashim. The Shlosha Chadashim is a chumra that Chazal made. Because remember, I mean, the rarity of being really misopic, whether it's a 9-month pregnancy or 7-month. So in this case where it's unlikely that she's pregnant, so that's the point. But it's not true. You're right, 100%. She's not carrying around contraceptives all the time. I mean, in those days, it wasn't like today, you know. If she was going to be raped, it wasn't that she knew the day before she was going to be raped. And that's the point. And Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says, come on. I mean, jumping around after intercourse is really not much of a protection against pregnancy, now is it? So, I mean, you're telling me if she's a real expert and she's gone through 2 months of training about how it is that she could jump upside down. Thank you very much. I mean, a normal woman has no idea what's going on. Are you going to think that she knew what she was doing, that she could reduce her chances? Okay, so then it's more of a logistical question between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if that's how we understand it. Now, getting back to the Mishnah. Getting back to the Mishnah, now this is a very rare opportunity. Because the Gemara here remember, because we understand that ketuvot is the center of our concern for being mevatel issues of payment, hence compensation. And that was the difference between the idea, according to Rabbah, of knas, where the Torah is assuring that she won't lose at least the knas, which was kineged tachat asher ina. So ksuvis is the place where we examine all of the possibilities of absorbing one chiyuv in another chiyuv, because that could be the source of the deprivation of the mohar, so to speak, and the ketuvah and the knas in the cases of onus and mefuta. And because of that, this is the place where the Gemara is going to gather together every single place in the Torah where there is a mashma'ut of an interrelationship between various chiyuvim, and show why we need so many variations on the theme. Now, we know, we've already checked out some of this. I mean, because from the beginning, the whole sugya here began with the contradiction of the Mishnah in Masechet Makot with the Mishnah here in Ketuvot. And that was only a question about particularly this issue of Makos v'Tashlumi. So there we brought the pasuk was Kidei Rishato, you can only be Mechayev v'Pnei Risha Achat, and so on. Then we got into a whole other issue, which was the general idea of Kamlei B'Rabba Minei. That was Nogea, other Chiyuvim as well. But that already opened up a whole other can of worms, which was the Pesukim that we went through in the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. We went through the Pesukim as to the din of Chayvei Malkus Shoigegin, Chayvei Misus Shoigegin, and how we would actually expand on the din of Ein Lokin U'Meshalim. So that's the first place that we should look for an understanding of why we have different Mikorot. And that is that we have our din in the Mishnah, V'lo Ye'ason, Anosh Ye'anesh. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. I mean, that pasuk, why do we need that pasuk? That if, remember, the simple meaning of that was that if you have a case where the woman dies by the stray bullet, so then there will be an ason, then he's not going to have to pay Dmei Veladot, right? But on the other hand, he will have to pay Dmei Veladot. Okay, so that tells you that there's a concept of Komlei B'Rabbi. I mean, that was the pashtus of the entire thing, right? Okay. So that makes sense, except for the fact that we already had learned that out, remember, from the Pasuk of Kidei Rishato. Ask the Gemara v'homi hocha nafka? What, this yesod of Komlei B'Rabbi Minei isn't learned from there, is it? Didn't we learn it out before from the Kidei Rishato? Over there, the Torah says beferish that the Dayan, v'hayayim bin hakot harasha, so what should the Dayan do? The pilo hashofet, v'hikog lefanav kidei rishato b'mispar, lefi one risha. Okay, so that already told us, if there's a chiyav mama, you're not going to give him both malchus and mama. That's it. V'iyata mechayvo mishum shtei rishayot. Answers the Gemara, absolutely. But there's two different dinim over here, aren't there? One is talking about mitavim amon. So in the pasuk that the Mishnah was bringing, we're over there, we were dealing with the question of komlei b'rabbi minei in terms of a chiyav misa, if somebody rapes a daughter and so on. Yes, that we do learn out from imlo yason, which was referring to misa. But the other case of kidei rishato is beferish talking about v'hipilo hashofet and give him malchus. Okay, so what does that have to do with the misa? Now you'll say, okay, I mean, but isn't it a kal v'chomer? No, it's not. Sricha, we actually need two separate mikorot, and I'll tell you why. Let's say the Torah would only have said the din of misa umamon from the imlo yihye ason. I would have said, okay, I mean, my God, the chumra over there, a person who's going to lose his life. I understand. I'm not going to also make him pay for the bullet. I mean, that sounds like KGB stuff, you know? So I understand that. But that's because there's such a loss, ibud neshama. Mashenkin, the guy's going to get beaten up. So what? So therefore, he should get off of paying? Malkus umama, and maybe not. On the other hand, you'll say, okay, so tell me Malkus umama, and then I'll know for sure Misa umama. No, because if the Torah would have said Malkus umama, I would have said, look, by definition, there's going to be a difference in how bad the person behaved if he was Chayim Malkus or if he's Chayim Misa, obviously. So if he's Chayim Misa, he did something absolutely awful. If he's Chayim Malkus, he did something bad. So maybe for doing something bad, you get off with only one thing, getting beaten up. But for doing something awful, once you're that awful, maybe you pay for the bullet too. What the heck? So I don't know. So therefore, I need to have both of these things. Misu Maman, we're over there. It's such a chomer of Isra. Maybe we wouldn't say Kom Lebin Rab Amine. Therefore, I need both psukim. So that makes very good sense. But wait a minute. Didn't you say that according to Rebbe Meir, you do have Loka Umeshalim? So then if that's the case, why, according to Rebbe Meir, do we need two psukim? Because he holds up, you have Loka Umeshalim anyway. So how in the world would I learn out the Kedei Rishato? I'm not learning out the Kedei Rishato. Well, one second. Hold on a minute. Things are not limited to Mammon. One pasuk, you're right. Lo yason anosh yanesh tepei demei vladais. That's Misa and Mammon. Correct. But what about if there's a chiyuv of Misa and Malkus? What if there's two separate chiyuvim that the guy was mitchayev? Would he get both? So that I need to know. We're only going to give him Malkus if it's Kedei Rishato, but not if it involves a Chiyuv of Misa. That's the point. So in other words, if you had any other Chiyuv, including a Chiyuv Misa, you're only going to get the Onesh, which is the bigger one. Okay. So then I still need the Pasuk. And for this purpose, I can make the same tzrichusa that I made before. And I need to have both psukim. Why? Because if the Torah told us the din of im lo ya'ason, which tells us the halacha of misa v'mamain, I would have said, look, I mean, over there, we're going to give you only one chiyuv, because what we're doing over here, if we give you both chiyuvim, we're giving you two separate areas. One is your body is being punished. One is that your money is being punished. Now, we don't do. We choose what we want to go after. Do we want to go after you, or do we want to go after your bank account, right? This is not like, you know, the FBI. They're going to get you whatever they can. So that's Mishum Dechada Begufe V'chada B'mamone. Masha Einkein, were you giving him Misa and Malkus? Over there, I would have thought, you know, I mean, both of them are punishing his body. This is one long, ugly death. Beat him up, make him suffer, and then kill him. All right, I mean, that's all part of the same thing. I mean, like, we're busting him. So maybe over there, it's like a long Misa. Misa Arichtehi, and we should do both. On the other hand, let's say I would have known that the Torah is telling us that in a case where there's Misa and Malkus, you're only Mechayev him Risha Achat. I would have said, what's the point of doing two things to his body? I mean, if we're going to kill him, what's the point of beating him up? I mean, you know, killing him sort of includes the maximal beating up that you could do. But where you have two separate issues, you know, I mean, this is a bank account and this is body. So why are those two interrelated? Maybe let's do both. Therefore, we need both circuit. Okay. Now, what's fascinating is that the Gemara is going to go through many other psukim, which on the surface appear to be repetitive about this issue. And it's going to show us subtle differences and sometimes not such subtle differences in understanding the relationship of payment to the other chiyuvim. Now, remember that one of the fascinating questions would be, you're telling me that we don't give him two things, right? We don't have him pay and also lose his life. What about if the person offers to pay? In other words, what if he says, I will pay and don't kill me? Could he make an offer like that? Because, I mean, after all, there are places where the Torah says, Gam balav yumat, kill the owner, like in the case of a shor that was Hamis as Adam, right? So where you have a shor who was a shor muad and the guy didn't take care of his shor. So it says in the pasuk, Bapashtas gam balav yumat. And then it says, Im kof for yushat alav, so he can pay his way out. So then he can pay, and then he won't be made, right? So, I mean, is that a general principle? In other words, the interrelatedness of the idea of kom le b'derab emine to the question of the tashlumin of a pidyon for his life is evident. So there should be a big difference between the two, or perhaps one is meant to be derived from the other. So in other words, if the Torah says, no, do not take money from him. So it's also telling you, in a more fundamental way, look, there's no money involved. This guy is dead meat. That's basically it. In which case, it's also telling you by the same token that this person is not going to be nenash b'mamono because he's dead meat, so to speak, right? That means that every time that we hear one of those psukim, lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, what we're saying is, on the simple level, do not take any money from him. So if that's the case, you're repeating the idea that a person doesn't pay money and also suffer a chiyuv of misa, correct? So therefore, I want to understand, why do we need that pasuk? So then, v'lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, okay? Why do we need that if it's just repeating the same idea? No, that's completely different. That's because the Omer Achmona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our lover, is coming to tell us, do not accept money from him to get out of Misa. Now, that's a different point. And that, I need to be told that you cannot exempt him. And so then why does it say, V'lo tikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato? I mean, that's basically saying the same thing. Isn't this chayve misa shogegin? A guy killed b'shogeg, okay, and you're telling me that he doesn't pay. Isn't that what it means? Don't take money from him. But we already knew that, I thought, didn't we? I mean, we understood the idea over there was v'lo yiyeh ason. If, now this is important to remember, if we put this together with the braita of Tana de Vechizkia, who says that there's no difference between shogeg, mezid, remember, that was the whole basis of the idea. Doesn't matter how you did it, whether derech aliyah, derech yirida, b'mizkaven, b'she'eno mizkaven, just like the makah behima, it makes no difference for the chiyav, for the makah odom, it makes no difference for the petur. Okay, so then it's already a given that if someone kills b'shogeg, he does not pay. And you can't go and sue him and say, but you caused the loss of life to this person and therefore you owe the family X, right? You can't do that. So then why do we need to know that? Velo tikhu kofer lanus. Well, it's the same thing, says the Gemara. There it's coming to tell me that if the guy offers to buy his way out from needing to go to Galut, that you will not accept money from him. The Omer Achmana lo tishko mamon amine v'tiftere min Galut. But you already taught me that. Why do you need to tell it to me twice? Why do you need one to say lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, and then the other one lo tikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato? Trei krei lomali. Well, obviously, I mean, one is talking about b'mezin and one is talking about b'shogeg, isn't it? I mean, the lanus el ir miklato is by definition a shogeg, and the other one lenefesh rotzeach is talking about a chiya b'mezin. And, of course, I need both, as I can explain to you. V'tzriche. Because let's say the Torah told us that only if you actually murdered somebody, you can't buy your way out. Well, that's because you did something terrible. And that's Chomer Yisurayo, and that's why you're Chayav Misa in the first place. The Torah says, look, this is the way you're going to behave. You're not going to be able to buy your way out of it. Mishum Chomer Yisurayo. Masha Inkein, or is Bishogeg, and you make an offer to the family, you know, we'll pay you $5 million and like get me out of the need to go to an Ir Miklat and so on. I mean, that makes sense. You're willing to take responsibility and you're all right. So then maybe ain't a chinami. Then we wouldn't send you to Golas. Therefore, says the pasuk, no, sorry, you can't do that. So vi ash muinan shogeg. Let's say there said you can't buy your way out. So you say, certainly you can't buy your way out of murder. That's not necessarily true. Because when you're talking about buying your way out of murder, you're also saving a life, right? I mean, there's always the argument, why kill another person? How is that going to help the fact that he killed the first person? So there's always that argument. So I would have made that argument and I would have said, look, I understand that he needs to be punished severely and so on. But if he is attempting to compensate by paying this pidyon of nafsho, so let's try to save a life. It says, v'itzilu ashofet, right? So you're supposed to do what you can to save the guy's life. So let's, in the event that he's paying money, let's accept the money. So if it would have said Shogeg, I would say that's because we're not changing the loss of a life. Mishum daleka ibud neshama. But if somebody did it amazing, he is going to lose his life. Emelo, maybe indeed it makes sense that vihitzilo, and we should accept the money from him. Therefore, I need both cases. Okay, so now I have four psukim. So far, we understand why we need all four psukim. We have the pasuk of Kedei Rishato, which comes to tell me Malkus and Mammon and or Malkus and Misa. We have the pasuk of Velo Yason, which comes to tell me the din of Kamle B'Rabimine in general for Chiyuvei Misa. We have the Lotikhu Kov for Lenefesh Rotzeach, which tells me the halacha that if somebody is Chayev Misa, he cannot pay, even when he offers to pay. And we have Lotikhu Kov for Lenus, is telling us that a shogeg, you cannot buy your way out of the Chiyuv of going to the Arei Miklat. We've explained why we need each of those four psukim. Asks the Gemara, but now we have another pasuk. This pasuk says, Vilaaretz lo yechupar ledam asher shupachba ki im bedam shofcho. Now, what the heck is that all about? I mean, here we're talking the same idea. I mean, this is basically a continuation that we had from before. Velo tachnifu et aretz. This comes right after the psukim of lo tikhu kofer, and it's lo tachnifu et aretz asher atem ba. Ki adam hu yachanif et ha'aretz, v'la aretz lo yechupar l'dam asher shupach ba, ki im bedam shofcho. What is this additional, what is, HaKadosh Baruch has to justify why I'm telling you lo tikhu nekofer? I mean, you're obviously trying to add something that is going to be a practical application of the halacha, and you're adding, look, there is no way to save what has happened to the world and what has destroyed Eretz Yisrael, except by carrying out the Chiyuv Misa against this other person. And you could take all those liberals and throw them into the ground, and it won't help being mechaper on the Eretz. So this is the reality. And, but what does it add? I'll tell you what it adds. Biboile l'kidatanya. Let me ask you something. How about in a case where the Torah already said that we got a kapora? Where's that? By Egla Rufa. Somebody murdered someone because we found the body and we see that he was shot through the head. I mean, you know, even here when the news says, you know, Chashash L'Ritzicha, it's like amazing. Right? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Chashash L'Ritzicha, yes, because somebody was found with 10 bullets in him. There's a Chashash that maybe someone was murdered. Okay, so I don't know. That kind of language is not familiar to us from the pasuk. So in that case, the din is that you bring an Egla Rufa and you go through the whole thing of the Egla Rufa, and then you say at the end, Kaper Lamcha Yisrael, and so on, right? And it says Beferish that, yes, that will be a Kapora. It says so. So then if that's the case, then how do we explain the fact that if we do find the murderer after that, okay, what would happen to the Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael Asher Padita Hashem? V'al titein dam naki b'kerav Amcha Yisrael v'ni Kaper L'Am Adam. Comes along now the murderer, and we tell him, well, sorry, we caught you, now you're dead. No, I'm not. We already got a kapara. So maybe you wanted me to pay. I mean, but this is like a whole different question. Therefore, comes along the posik, tarim nitarfa egla. How do we know that even though where it says the chaper le madam minayin she'ein potrinoto, that's why it adds ultimately lo eretz lo yechupar ledam asher shupach ba ki im bedam shofcho, and that the moment, in other words, the idea of the kapora of the egla rufa is conditional, namely that the kapora ends the moment that you're able to deal with the underlying reality, which is that you found the murderer. By the way, remember in Hilchos Tshuva, we find the same concept that there are, let's say, Chas v'Chalila, someone was Bechal Hashem Shamayim. So he can never get a kapora until he dies, right? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im yechupar avon hazad temutun. So what do you do meanwhile? All of the things meanwhile are kaporas that put off the ultimate kapora so that the person doesn't die immediately. But there's an idea of a kapora that runs out when it's time for the real kapora, which is all such kaporas in cases where only Misa is mechaper. So the same thing is true over here. V'nikaper lehem adam. That's true. Until you can undo the damage. So the damage of the Chilul Hashem is the fact that this jerk is still walking around on the face of the earth. So how are you going to undo the damage? Okay, so you can put off that final kapara. In this case as well, we'll do something, bring an Egel Arufa. But the moment that it's possible to actually deal with true kapara by undoing, which is the dam that is mechaper on the dam shofcho is mechaper, then they have to do that. So these are very broad ideas that tell us all kinds of issues, benogea, kapara, and truva as well. So that is the fifth pasuk. Asks the Gemara, but then wait a minute, I have a sixth pasuk. Because the sixth pasuk says beferish, that even after you bring your egg la rufa, it says, ve'ata teva'er adamana ki mikirbecha, kitasa yashar b'nei Hashem. Now what is that adding? I already know that if I found the murderer, that I'm supposed to kill the murderer, that I know from the pasuk of la'aretz lo yechupar. So now what are you adding when you tell me teva'er dam anaki? In what sense? What more can I do? Six tzurkin. Ah, that's a new chiddush. Mi boy lei lekiretanya. Minayin lemumatim besayef shu minat savar. How do we know the correct way to kill in Beis Din with the Misa of Saif? Talmud lomar. And it puts that together with Egla Rufa. So I might thought that a firing squad is essentially the equivalent of Saif, right? We're just going to kill the guy. Or take a sword and stab him through the heart. I don't know. I mean, you didn't define what is meant by the concept of Saif. Therefore, the Torah puts together the Tiva'er, the Dam, with the din of Egla Rufa, to tell me, Talmud lomar, tativaya damanaki mikir becha, which means hukshu kol shofchei damim to the Egla Rufa. Just like the Egla Rufa is actually killed from the neck, so too, or a murderer would also be killed from the neck. Now, wait a minute, what do you mean from the neck? I mean, then why don't we kill him the way we kill an Egla Rufa? Why don't we take a butcher knife and chop his head off from behind him, you know? You could do a nice one of these axe murders that the Arabs think are so pleasant. So imala halan kofitz umimul oref afkan bekofitz umimul oref omer nachman omer rabba baravua omer krov v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means do your best for him. Choose the easiest way to die, and you're supposed to be baror lo mita yafa. So if you have to choose the better way to die, then obviously the derech of shchita, of cutting a neck from the simanim, is a much more mechubad and quicker death. Obviously, don't tell this to the brilliant Nazis in Switzerland or in Belgium and so on, in which shchita is a terrible way to die. How can you do that to an animal? You know, let's shoot him through the head. Brilliant. Anyway, but it's incredible. So this is the whole chiyuv is bedavka because you're looking for a kinder way to kill him. Now, yotaina, but v'yaftal reacha, I thought reacha always means reacha b'mitzvahs. And if this guy's a murderer, what makes him a reacha b'mitzvahs? So, I mean, unless you know he did tshuva or whatever, but otherwise, shouldn't we assume that he's not reacha b'mitzvahs? So some have an understanding that reacha means even ra, the ra of the reacha, right? So in other words, you have to separate out the ra that is in the person from the person. It's two different things. So you need to identify what is valuable in this individual, even though he's chayav misa, and that you have to still love and care about, which is an amazing, amazing pshat. But anyway, so by that token, we're going to decide, this pasuk tells us how it is that we're supposed to be mamis. Okay, I've got a seventh pasuk, says the Gemara. What do you do with the pasuk that says, Kol cherem asher yechoram min ha'adam lo yipadeh? Anything that has been determined to be Chai of Misa, why do I think it means that? Because it says, Zoveach l'Elohim Yechoram. What does that mean? Somebody who does Avodah Zarah, Yechoram, what, we can put him into Cherem? No. We turn him into a Cherem by killing him, right? So then here it says, Kol Cherem Asher Yechoram in Adam lo yipadeh mot yumat. This is crazy. I mean, this is literally telling me what I already know. It's saying there's no way to let this guy off. You have to carry out the din. But we already saw that. That you can't accept any type of pidyon, asher hu rashalamut, whether it was b'shogeg, whether it was b'mezid, one of them lanus el ir miklato. Now, what in the world do we need this pasuk for? How many times can you tell me the same thing? Ah, says the Gemara, that's a big chiddush. That comes to tell me. Minayin leyotze leyarek. How do you know if somebody is on his way to be killed in Beis Din? And somebody says, that guy's erech is a lie. I'm going to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash what this guy is defined as in the Torah. Remember, an erech doesn't have anything to do with his value on a market. An erech is gzeiras hakosev, depending on how old he is, what sex he is. It's all predefined. So you would think that in that case, there is the same value until he's dead. But as long as he's alive and you committed yourself to the erech, as then you're mechuyev. How do you know that in that case, minayin shelo amar klum, even though it's an erech, shenema kol cherem asher yechoram in adam lo yipadeh. That's the point. So the word cherem is being used over here as kodesh, right? Charme kayanim, charme perekabayis. So kol cherem asher yechoram. When you make a hegdash of a cherem, then you haven't done anything. Because basically, there's no pidyon that's involved in paying up what it is that you owe for his erech is essentially a type of pidyon. Well, there's no way to do that. And therefore, you might think, now, wait a minute, if that's the case, so then it's the rishus in him that we don't want you to be poda, right? So then you would think, if that's the case, then let's say the guy was in court. The Beis Din hasn't paskened yet that he's chai of misa. And you say, I'm going to pay his erech. I'm going to give it to Hegdash. And then the Beis Din, 10 minutes later, says guilty, and it will be niskal in an hour. You know, anybody who has anything good to say and whatever, and we're vitzilo ha-shofet, we do whatever we can. Maybe over there, you would say, okay, so now you can't actually owe anything because lo yipadeh. No. Because Yochel af kodem shegenigmar din okay, and you might think that in that event it's still considered to be lo amar klum. Talmud lomar kol cherem ayisher yechoram min ha'adam. Min ha'adam always means from a set, but not the entire set. Okay, so then that means only, this is the most logical distinction in the set, only prior to the psak din and not before. Well, wait a minute. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya holds that actually there is erech, even for someone that is on his way to being killed in Beis Din. So what about according to him? How does he understand the pasuk? He says, well, why wouldn't he be able to be merach? I understand if you would say his real value, that's called domav, right? So if he says domo alai, or he doesn't have any value, he's going to buy somebody that's about to be killed. That's crazy. But if you say erech, since the erech is defined with neshadam of ketsuvim, why wouldn't I pay it? But then if that's the case, what did he do with the pasuk of kol cherem asher yechoram? It's just repetitive. Ah, that's another thing. Mibay leila kidatanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer. Lefi shematzino lemumatim bidei shamayim shenotni mamonu mitchaper lahem, shenemar imko for yushat alav. Since we find in the Torah that where somebody is chayev misa as defined in the Torah, v'gamba alav yumat, that if you pay for the value, whether it's to be nizik, to be mazik, to us this point, it's going to make a difference over here, but not necessarily. And you might think that even where it's a chayev misa bidei adam, you could also be able to buy your life out. Talmud lomar, cherem min ha'adam lo yipadeh. That's why it says, kol asher yechoram min ha'adam, meaning that the Beis Din has decided to kill him, a chayev misa. Ein li ela mitot chamurot shelon nitna shegegatam mekapara. Now, this is the issue that we didn't raise before. Because, in fact, we just took it for granted. That, look, there's one issue Chiyav Misa. We never took into consideration the fact that there are four different levels of Chiyav Misa, and that and why in the world should we consider them all to be equivalents if the Torah is machmir sometimes and makel at other times? So therefore, he's introducing an entirely new issue, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, namely, Ein li ala mitot chamurot shelo nitna shigigatan lechapara. So this is only in a case where there is such a chumrah that the Torah never provided you an alternative kapara. So what would be the case? What would be a kapara in the event that you did something b'shogeg? A korban chatas, right? But a korban chatas is not applicable in cases where there is the Chiyav Misa. He's not going to be able to bring a Korban Chatas and say that Patras. I mean, it's only where it's limited to a Chiyav Karas, right? So let's say somebody kills his father. What's he going to do? What kind of Chatas is he going to bring? There's nothing to do. So Masha Enkein, where there is also a Chiyav Karas, in the event that when there's no Hasot Sechilo Shabbos, or even Avodah Zarah. So over there, there is a Chiyav Karas. Not if there was Hatra'ah. But it was no hatra, there was a chi of karas, and that means that you can bring a carpet. And you can be mischaper even on the misa of the Shabbos. You're no longer going to be chai of the misa, right? So maybe in that case, you could say that even if it's a chi of misa bezdin, there would still be a way that you could actually give money. And it should be the equivalent of imko for you shatalav. And it would not include what we said before, that lotikach kofer, wait a second, that's only lotikach kofer in the type of misa where the Torah didn't give you a kapara. But if the Torah does offer you a kapara, then maybe you can even buy your way out. Now, nobody thought of that. Therefore, we need this additional pasuk to tell me, asher yechoram, that when Bezdin has made a psak misa, that does not allow you to go ahead to tell us, Talmud Lomar, Cherem mina adam lo yipadeh. But how do I know even mitot kalot? Talmud lomar kol cherem lo yipadeh. But wait a minute. But we learned out before. Now you're doing this to me and stop trying to. We learned out from lo tikhu nefesh, lo tikhu kofer le nefesh. And we said before that the reason that we needed that extra pasuk was because we needed to know don't accept any money to let him out. And now you're telling me that according to Hananya ben Akavya, I need kol cherem. Why do I need kol cherem? Because, as Rami Bar Chama explained, itzrich. Because salka daita chamina, when the Torah said that kol cherem, I mean, when it said lo tikach kofer, because remember, this is a very strange situation. Isn't somebody who kills b'shogeg by definition, has a kapora? You told me that, okay, I appreciate the fact that where you don't have a kapora, but where you do have a kapora, right? Now, the very pasuk that tells me not to accept any money was talking about killing someone. But killing someone does have a kapora. So what's your argument? What's the kapora? Golus. If you killed somebody b'shogeg, it's like chilul Shabbos b'shogeg. You bring a korban chatas. You said no. That I understand, right? But over here, the pasuk itself is talking about that case where it says lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. So now, what is the argument? Maybe that's only where there's no kapora. There is kapora, and we even learned that that would apply bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. You can never let the guy off. So now why do we need the extra pasuk? It's exactly the case that we were talking about. There's an alternative kapara that is offered, namely golas. Well, aha, because you forgot. It makes a difference how you killed him, with an upward stroke or a downward stroke. The Torah doesn't give you a kapara for all cases. So there's a difference between Echda Hargo Derech Aliyah. So over there, I would say you can't take a money because since it was Derech Aliyah, there's no Golas. And therefore the Torah didn't offer you a Kapora in the Shogeg. But Derech Yerida, where you did have an alternative, maybe you could take Mammon and Ponter him. Therefore I need this Pasuk. Kol Cherem. I don't care whatever it is. Same thing. Now you know what the problem is with this, right? Because remember, our good old Braisav Tana de Vechizkia, the old standby. It said over there, Beferish, Derech Aliyah, Derech Yiridah, doesn't make any difference. We'll learn out from Maka Oda, Maka Be'ima, my God. So now we've got 8 psukim that we have to all interrelate and understand where they apply, where they don't apply. That, I'm afraid, has to wait.